The Average Network presents episode 68 of The Adventures of Huckleberry Bush, President of the Known World. We join the President in the conference cavern of the Batcave, where the living head of Dr. Henry Kissinger has called a meeting.
Thank you all for coming. Rumsfeld, are these your ideas of refreshments?
Well, they weren't moving anymore, so they must be food.
I think I'll pass. Thanks, Don.
You're quite welcome, Dr. Rice. These are pre-war sodas we've been storing at the Pentagon.
These are old-time nickel bottles.
The sugar's a little caked near the cap.
Sure be nice if you guys ever buy some real refreshments.
We haven't any real need for them ourselves, George.
Besides, we're practicing fiscal restraint. Would you like some Gulf One leftovers?
Look, Mr. President, here's a Stormin' Norman Schwarzkopf bologna and cheese sandwich.
Man, that freeze-dried lettuce looks weird.
Ms. Hughes, Karen, would you please...
What you want, Fang?
I wish you wouldn't call me that. I am the Vice President, you know. Would you please put your pipe away?
Nope.
Why won't you?
My grandma gave me this pipe, carved it herself out of a captured Yankee in 1864.
Rumsfeld!
Yes, Master?
Turn up the air conditioning.
Why did you want to see us, Dr. Henry?
Well, Carl, and the rest of you, we are facing serious re-election problems. I warned you all about Iraq, but you chose not to pay attention.
So you're going to blame us for everything?
Of course not, Condi. There's plenty of blame to go around. Donald and Ashcroft found our excuses for torture.
Oh, we need an excuse.
Wolfowitz, Fife, Pearl, and Chalabi gave us the wretched phony intel on Iraq. Working with them, Tommy Franks and Dick Myers gave us an inadequate war plan. Plenty of blame, you see.
Then there's Ashcroft trying to arrest everyone in the country. Richard here letting energy lobbyists run our energy policy.
Who better?
George giving away the forest to logging companies. I warned you all about becoming too greedy during the first administration. And of course, Dick also lying about Saddam's Al-Qaeda connections.
They weren't real lies, Henry. More like minor embellishments.
Like the WMDs?
Saddam had WMDs. Dick and Chalabi proved
George,
it.
George, Saddam's beard lice do not qualify as weapons.
Then what are they?
Bugs, George.
Well, we gotta take over the world, ain't we?
That's what I signed on for.
I kind of thought we were being a little ambitious.
Ambition is nothing, Card. Some form of democracy is destined to take over the world. But as I insisted, we had a perfect timetable, and you chose to ignore it. I told you that we need to adapt the concept to wherever we go. I suggested somewhere simple to start. Afghanistan and Cuba. Then North Korea, and maybe Iraq after that. But no, you had to go after Saddam.
He tried to kill my dad.
If he'd really been trying, your father isn't that hard to find. Cheney concocted that silly plot.
It wasn't silly. I got it from a bestseller.
Clinton went along with it because that is what Clinton does. He goes along with things.
Dr. Henry, did you really call us all down here just to heap abuse on us?
It's not as though you don't deserve it, Herr Rove. You foisted this intellectual vacuum on the public, you and Indian Karen.
Yeah, don't blame me.
I don't blame you, but actually, George, every time you appear in public, did you know your numbers go down?
It seems similar to the Bush effect. If you make a major statement when the trading floor is open, the market falls. It's really rather interesting.
That's why we had to make you stay up later at night, sweetie. So you wouldn't trash the market.
We tested it several times, Mr. President. It worked with an 87% accuracy rate.
How much did it go up when I said good stuff, Andy?
Oh, it never works that way, sir.
Yeah, always down. Huh.
George, concentrate.
Like orange juice?
All right. Forget that you are,
Intellectually lazy.
Yeah, intellectually lazy.
Thank you. I know how hard this will be. We are going to have to put a damper on a great many of your appearances. You'll still do them, but we are cutting down the media access. We are also going to have to increase the fundraising.
We need to bury the Democrats, George. There are enough seats in Congress to lock us in for the foreseeable future if we don't lose
them. If by some strange quirk we lose, it'll go very hard on us.
Yes, the investigations will start.
Wait a minute. Dr. Henry, if your vision is inevitable, worldwide democracy, why do we have to hide everything? Shouldn't it just happen naturally?
Condi, don't you remember my lectures?
Sometimes history must be helped along a bit, Condi. We can't just assume that everyone will understand.
And the world has only really been happy when ruled by Emperor and kings.
In a democratic sort of way, of course. We can't just let everyone do what they want, but it helps if they think that they can. And we cannot afford any investigations that we don't control.
Well, I'm supposed to remember all that, huh?
Me and Andy got your back, honey. Carl's got your side.
Thanks, Karen.
What have I got?
Why, Dr. Rice, you have spies.
You always were fond of spies, and if you finally tire of government, you could always run the Capitol Symphony.
Are you hinting that I should leave, Doctor?
Absolutely not. You might consider a slight hairstyle alteration.
Yes, the comparisons to those German-style helmets I introduced at DOD are becoming rather obvious. Andy, Carl, and Karen, we need a rewritten itinerary with 50% more fundraisers.
I'll need more writers.
No more writers. Work the speeches you've got. Fiscal responsibility, remember?
St. Ronald of California only had the one speech for 30 years.
Yes, but Ron wasn't as intellectually lazy, and he hid his vicious streak with more style. Just try to make certain that George always knows where he is when he's...
We'll try, but the last few years, every place in the country either looks like Mesa, Arizona, or Hamtramck, Michigan.
Or Las Vegas. Blech. All those bright lights and mirrors. Horrid place.
There's a high blood alcohol count, too. Almost as high as the D.C. suburbs.
But what's our overall plan, Dr. Henry?
Once we've gotten George re-elected, we need to make some African inroads. We'll work with the UN to stop the Sudan crisis. Cobble and Jennings are talking about them. It's getting too much publicity.
It should be simple. We shall just tell their government to knock off the genocide, or we shall sick George on them.
The Sudan has very few resources left, so we shall look very altruistic going in to help starving Negroes. We'll need to get Gaddafi to donate some troops, perhaps some Egyptians as well, so we can put a Muslim face on our invasion.
Hadn't we better leave the Brits out? They had kind of a rough time in the Sudan.
Besides, Tony's been a bit of a mope just lately. Yeah, and his duck's lame, too.
Lame duck, George. Not duck lame.
No, Master. He mentioned it in Parliament. He and his wife have a pet duck named Maggie, and it's come up lame.
Thank you, Ramsfeld. Your pardon, George. The point is that we can establish a beachhead in Khartoum. Pour in food aid for a few years and look good in foreign policy for a change. Because there's nothing there we could obviously want.
So, in fact, it gives us a base in North Africa, and it will seem less alarming when we move in elsewhere. Isn't that a nice plan, George? Much nicer than Wolfowitz's plan.
Sure is. What about the 9/11 Commission report?
What about it?
Well, he's jumping on it and ain't even out yet.
It's all right, sir. Our attack dogs are already on it. It's all partisan hogwash.
Is that what I say?
No, if anyone asks you, just smile and say it's an interesting report and we are looking into
it. It's an interesting report and we're looking into
it. Very good, George. Meanwhile, Sean Hannity, Rush, Bill O'Reilly, Bob Novak, Tucker Carlson, Blanquita Cullum, Ann Coulter, Ollie North are all going to be leading our attack on the commission.
Was that another part of our Bertolucci method?
Berlusconi, George. Yes, we do something illegal, and when somebody finds out, we make it legal.
Or find an existing law that we can bend to cover
it. Hell, worked for Mussolini, huh?
Yes, Italy has been relatively stable since Silvio lied, cheated, and stole his way in, and he's always one step ahead of the court.
Of course, being one step ahead of the Italian courts is a little easier than here. Bribery is an accepted form of negotiation there. They frown on it in U.S. law. Andrew, have you scouted out a good assassination team just in case?
We're working on it, Dr. Henry.
I thought you'd found someone.
We thought so too, Count Cheney. But the gang, the South Street Silencers, turned out to be a gang of 8-year-olds when we met to negotiate.
8-year-olds. Not mean enough.
Their demands were impossible. We couldn't agree on what a gazillion dollars is. And they wanted recording contracts in their own sitcom, and they wanted to be on Regis and Kelly. They were plenty mean. One of them bit me here on the leg.
Huh. That must have bled copiously. They sound charming. Oh well, we can always call Gordon Liddy and his band of geriatric gangsters.
He don't even like me.
George, if that were our criteria, we'd be shredding documents and booking passage to Honduras right now.
Wait a minute. Was that funny?
Episode 68 of The Adventures of Huckleberry Bush, President of the Known World, was written and produced by Uncle Bob Young and the Average Network. All celebrity impersonations were caused by a rift in the time-space continuum, involving folds in the fabric of the universe, dark matter, and lots of sciencey stuff. This is Pablo T. Flies for the Average Network, and I'm not really up on astronomy. My specialty is phytoplasty, the science of sticking dogs together. It's a small but growing field. Please stay tuned.